good morning again. If you'll turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 2, we're going to continue our series today on Advent, talking about peace. During World War I, on and around December, Christmas Day, December 25th, 1914, the world was at war. World War I was about 5 months into its stead, and on that day, though, the sounds of artillery shells and bullets were replaced by sounds in many different places along that western front of celebration in the trenches, gestures of goodwill and goodwill between enemies. Earlier that month, Pope Benedict the 15th had suggested that a temporary hiatus be observed during the war for the celebration of Christmas. Now, the warring countries refused to create an official ceasefire, but on Christmas, the soldiers in the trenches declared their own official truce, and there's pictures of this. On that morning of Christmas, German soldiers began to come out of their trenches, and the Allied soldiers were cautious at first, thinking this may be a trap, but they came out expressing Merry Christmas in their enemy's native tongue, and they began to meet on the battlefield in what was called no man's land, and they began to celebrate Christmas. They began to exchange gifts, and they began to exchange greetings. They even played soccer together in one moment of just kind of community coming alongside that. They sang Christmas carols, their bands showed up, and they took time in this horrific war and battle on that day to observe peace at Christmas. And that peace was one that was temporary, but it was one that was significant. In the midst of all this different stuff, the different leaders began to try to rally around again to say, hey, let's do this in the future. And different leadership factions and different parts of the governments were like, no, we're not going to do this. And they began to threaten disciplinary action on any soldiers that would. But for that one day, for those few hours in the midst of a horrific battle and a war, peace prevailed. I remember hearing that story when I was a young kid and learning more about it as I grew up. And there was always something about that story at Christmas time that really just drew my heart in. You know, peace and Christmas go together. Peace is one of the themes of Christmas. As we see it on decorations, we sing it in Christmas carols. We hear about it in stories at Christmas. And stories like this really draw our heart and mind around this idea of Christmas being a time where we strive for and we seek peace. But I don't know about you, that though that may be a time where peace is sought after, it seems to me that sometimes this holiday season is actually a time where there's even more of a lack of peace, right? You know, things are just crazy busy. You've got parties, you've got shopping, you've got school functions. You've got to pick out presents for people. You're going to be with family that you may or may not really get along with, and that creates some stress and maybe a lack of peace. Your kids are going to be home for a couple of weeks instead of at school, right? So there's all this stuff that just, if we're honest, really creates maybe a lack of peace in a season where we celebrate peace. So it kind of leaves us with a question of, is peace really possible at Christmas? Can we truly find a sense of peace that is lasting, a sense of peace that is deep, that is true? Or is peace just something that we'll find little bits here and there, but like in World War I, it can be for a season, but then the battle will continue to rage on? Well, I believe this, that peace is something that we all go after, something we all yearn for. And I believe that at Christmas time, we need to be reminded that there is the possibility of experiencing a true and a lasting peace. We just have to look in the right place for it. If you'll stand with me, Luke chapter 2, a very familiar story of Christmas. And there's one detail that I want to look at as a jumping off place for today as we talk about peace at Christmas time, and can we really find a true and lasting peace in our lives during this season of Christmas? So Luke chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 8 and go to verse 14. If you're new, at the end of our reading, we'll say the phrase, the very words out loud to just distinguish God's word from my own this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In the same region where there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." At that declaration of the birth of Jesus Christ, the multitude of the heavenly hosts declared that peace had come, that peace was here, that as Jesus arrived, Jesus brought with him peace to those with whom God would be pleased. So as we talk about peace today, I want to look at peace in really three different ways. As we talk about and really look at, can we truly find a deep, true, and lasting peace in our lives, both this Christmas time and then other times as well? And I want to talk about it in really three different ways. One, I want to look at our pining for peace, the desire that we have within us, and why we have a desire, why we're drawn to the idea and the reality of peace. Two, I want to look at the promise of peace that we find in the story of Christmas and the story of God. And third, I want to look very practically at the plan for peace, how we can have a truer and deeper lasting sense of peace in our life this holiday season, regardless of maybe what it is that we are going through. So why do we have this yearning and this desire for peace? Why do we decorate our house with the word peace at Christmas time? Why is this season different? Why is it that when we talk about peace, there's something in us that has this expectation, this longing, this desire? Why, you know, why do we go to day spas? I don't go to day spas, but why do you maybe go to day spas, right? And try to, you know, get some peace and quiet in your life? Why, you know, why do you take long walks in the woods? Why do you buy noise canceling headphones beside to block out your kids? Why do you do that? Why do so many of our vacations involve us getting away from everything and getting alone where we can just get some peace and quiet? Why do we as parents sometimes hide in the bathroom? Not doing anything that should be done in the bathroom, but we just want some peace and quiet, right? I believe it's because we have been, as human beings, hardwired for peace. We've been created to be at peace. We've been created to have this sense of peace, this sense of wellness, this sense of wholeness. It's part of who we've been created to be in the image of God. But what do we mean by peace? Well, let me define it this way. If you're taking notes, maybe write this down so we kind of have a definition of peace to work on. Peace is a sense of harmony, wholeness, and completeness. It's a sense of harmony, wholeness, and completeness. It's a unity of both mind and spirit. It's where everything is tied together and all works out. It's different than just a lack of conflict, right? There's something even more to it. It's this internal all rightness, right? That everything's just good. Everything's okay. And we seek that peace. And the reason I believe we seek it is because we've been created for it. We were designed to be people of peace and who experience peace. When I think about peace, I really think about four different areas in our life where the majority of us are longing for peace. And why do I say majority? There's a small minority of people in our world who I believe don't desire peace. They're used by the enemy to create chaos, hurt, destruction. They're terrorists. They're criminal. Like, you know, their desire is, I want to bring chaos and anarchy. But that's a very small group of people. But I believe that the majority of us, and probably all of you in this room, you desire this sense of wholeness, of harmony, of completeness. And I think we have this desire in four broad areas of our life. And so if you're taking notes, maybe write this down. One is this, is I believe we all have this desire to have peace with God. We all have a desire to have peace with God, right? Now, what I mean by that is that we have this desire to be all right with this higher power. Even if you're not a believer or you don't follow Jesus Christ today, I believe that you desire to have peace with God. And because we hear things like, you know, I just want to be at peace with the universe. I want to be at peace with the forces of nature, right? You know, I would say as a believer, I want to be at peace with God, right? Or, you know, people talk about as their life ends, I need to be made right with God. It's this desire that we have, regardless of even our beliefs, whether we're Christian or not, that we want to be at peace with this higher reality, right? That we would believe is to be at peace with God. That we have this desire to be at peace with God. Two is I believe we all have this desire to be at peace with others. We all have this desire to be at peace with other people. Well, why do I believe that? Because conflict creates tension, right? When things aren't right between you and a coworker, or between you and your spouse, or you and a family member or a neighbor, life is not the way it should be. It creates anxiety, creates tension. Most of us look to avoid conflict because the idea of not being at peace with other people really creates in us a lack of wholeness, a lack of harmony, right? And we desire to be at peace with other people in our life. Third is I think we all have this desire to be at peace with ourselves. We all have this desire to be at peace with ourselves, to have this internal peace with, you know, who we are and what we're about, our identity and our purpose in life. And when those things are off, when maybe our identity is skewed or we compare ourselves to other people and we don't feel like we match up, it creates this angst in our life, this lack of wholeness, this lack of peace. And the fourth is this, is I believe we also all have this innate desire within us to be at peace with our circumstances in life. We want to know there's a reason for what's happening in our life. And we honestly want everything to work out the way that we would like it to work out. So when something doesn't go our way, it creates this anxiety and lack of peace in our heart. If things don't go our way, maybe we get angry, maybe we get stressed, maybe we get anxious, maybe we suffer from panic, maybe, you know, all this stuff happens. And it happens because we're not at peace with the circumstances that are happening within our life. And I believe that no matter what your background is, no matter what your age is today, that you can probably identify with these desires in these broad categories. That you want to be at peace with God. You want to have a deeper sense of being at peace with the one who created you. Number two, you want to be at peace with others. You don't want your life to be filled with relational tension and strife and struggle. You want to get along with other people. You want things to be in harmony. Third, you want to have a sense of wholeness in yourself. You want to be good with kind of who you are, and you don't want to be anxious and worried and insecure. You really want this desire to be okay internally, and you want to be okay with your circumstances. You want to be the type of person who, no matter what happens in life, you don't have to be kind of thrown about by the circumstances in life, but there's this stability to who you are. And I believe that the reason why you desire that and I desire that is because we've been created for it. We've been created to live at peace with God, with others, with ourselves, and in our circumstances. And I think we see that when we look at the creation story. If you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of the Bible, here's what we find. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and then verse 25 says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then we see that God brings creation and order to this lack of order. He brings structure. He brings processes. He orders things and creates things in a specific sequence and a specific design, and he brings peace to it all. And it says in verse 25, and God saw that it was good. So it was good that God created a world where there was everything at peace, including us. Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says this: then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. So you and I, as human beings, were created originally to be part of this perfect peace where everything worked together. And we see this when we look at the story of creation. We look at Genesis, we see this reality that Adam and Eve, the very first humans, the first man and woman, were at peace with God. There was nothing hindering their relationship with God. that God walked with them in the cool of the day. They had this unfiltered, unblocked relationship and peace with God. Two, there was no strife amongst themselves. There was no hurt. There was no brokenness. There was no wounding. There was no unrighteous anger. All of that stuff wasn't there. They lived in harmony. It says that the one thing that wasn't good was for man to be alone. So God created a helper suitable for him, that together there was peace. Third, there was harmony within themselves. Like there wasn't insecurity. There didn't seem to be worry. Didn't seem to be anxiety. We don't see that in scripture. In fact, it says that they were naked and they were unashamed. Why? Because they didn't have any care. They didn't have any worry. They didn't have any insecurity, the things that keep us from being at peace with ourselves. And four, we see that really life was all about the way it was supposed to go, that they had responsibilities and jobs and to work the ground and have dominion, but everything was as it should be. The circumstances in life were all filled with this harmony and wholeness and completeness. But if we know the story, we know that that didn't stay forever, that Adam and Eve chose to reject God, rebel against him, and sin entered into the world. And that sin broke and fractured the perfect creation that God had made. And so we see very quickly that no longer were Adam and Eve at peace with God, but there was a brokenness in that relationship with God. It says that they hid from God. They were ashamed before God at what they had done. So this peace and relationship with God was no longer there. Two, we see that there was fighting amongst themselves. Right? That they begin to argue. The very first thing that happened when they sin is they begin to blame each other and blame the serpent for whose fault it was. And we see that their own sons, their own kids, even one son committed murder and killed the other. Right? We see very quickly that there was this lack of peace in relationships. We see that they became very self-aware. And it said they realized that they were naked and they were ashamed. They hid. Because all of a sudden, insecurity and comparison and recognizing the fact that, hey, I might not be okay with who I am and what's going on, all of that was broken as well. And creation was no longer working alongside them. That what was going to be good work and production now became toil and strife. And all of these things we see play out as we follow the story of God, where what was once peace is now broken. And the reason why we struggle for peace is because we still live in that broken world. Because of the sin in our life, peace with God has been broken. Because of brokenness and sin, our relationships lack peace. Because of insecurity and shame, we oftentimes struggle with having an internal peace, and the circumstances in life aren't what they are supposed to be. Sickness and death and hardship and all those things are now a part of our life, and they really create a struggle to find peace. So the reason why we desire peace so much is because we were created to be at peace. But the tension is we live in a world that's not at peace, that sin broke everything. That's why God is so serious about sin and avoiding sin and living his way as opposed to our way, because the consequences of sin run so deep. And one of those is it removes peace from our life. But the story of Christmas brings us back to peace. If the story ended there of Scripture, it would not be a story of good news. But as the angels declared and announced the birth of Jesus, they said that I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. And the good news is that Jesus has come. And as Jesus has come, he has come, as the Bible tells us, that he has brought with him peace. That what God had promised has now been fulfilled. Because God's response to this brokenness wasn't to leave us like that. It was to begin a story of reconciliation, of restoration. And part of that was a promise that one day peace would come again, that peace would be available. Let's look at the promise of peace. Really, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, we see the prophet Isaiah speaking about this promise of peace that was to come. That the birth of Jesus was foretold thousands of years before he was ever born. And it was foretold in the Old Testament, in the scriptures. And part of the promise of the fact that Jesus would come, that what we celebrate at Christmas is now here, is the promise that God is bringing with him peace. Look what Isaiah says. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." That as Isaiah is announcing and foretelling the one who is to come, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, he says that he will be the Prince of Peace. He will be the prince, the ruler, the administrator, that he is the one who rules and brings peace, that his kingdom will be one that is marked with peace, and his kingdom will be one that has no end. And Jesus, the promised one who we celebrate at Christmas, has come as Prince of Peace. And so we celebrate and need to be reminded that though we've been created for peace and that peace has been broken, now that Jesus has come, peace is possible once again. As we read earlier in our Advent reading for this week, in John 14, 27, Jesus says, "I've come not only to fulfill peace, but now I'm going to give that peace to you." Look what he says. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So Jesus has come to bring a new sense, a true, deeper, lasting sense of peace to our life. We've been created for it. We pine for it. We desire it. It's been promised to us, and now Jesus has come to give it to us. So is peace really possible? Is a lasting, true sense of peace in a broken world, is it truly possible? Even at a time like Christmas, when we talk a lot about peace, but we struggle to find peace, is peace truly possible? Here's what I believe. I want you to write this down. That true and lasting peace is possible if we turn to Jesus Christ. That a true and lasting peace in our life, both now and forever, is possible if we look to Jesus. Without Jesus, peace will never come in a true and lasting way. It may show up on Christmas Day in 1914, but then on December 26th, the war is going to continue to rage on. It may come on Christmas morning in 2019 as everybody's getting along for 3 or 4 hours, but then as you move on from that day, all of these things will come back and the struggle for peace is going to be there unless we turn to Jesus Christ. Now, what I want to do in the time that we have left is I want to share with you what I believe to be the plan for peace. God created you for peace, created me for peace. He promised it. Jesus came and fulfilled it. He's the person, the Prince of Peace. But how do we begin to experience maybe a newer level of peace in our life? How does God want to bring peace to our relationship with him? How does he want to bring peace to our relationship with others? How does he want to bring peace within ourselves and allow us to have peace within our circumstances? Well, let me share with you these four things today. And there are things that we should go after. You may ask the question and say, well, really, you know, hey, this world's messed up. I can't wait for heaven. Should I really pursue peace now? Or should I just deal with the fact that this world's messed up? Should I just long for heaven and just realize that, hey, I'm never going to be at peace in any capacity here? Well, look what 1 Peter 3:11 tells us. It says, "Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." So should we pursue peace? Should we seek peace both now and for eternity in these areas in our life if we want to live our life in the best way, if we want to live life of blessing, if we want to live, as Peter says right here, if we want to have a desire to love life and to see good days, what should we do? We should pursue and seek peace. So how does God want to do that? Let's look at a few things. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down, is that God has a plan for peace in our relationship with him. And God wants to bring us peace through salvation. God brings us peace through salvation. Now, what's salvation? It's a church word we use a lot, but really, what is it? Salvation means, to be saved means, that the sin in my life has been forgiven. I've put my faith and trust in the only Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth on the day we celebrated Christmas, who lived a perfect life, who died a sacrificial death and was raised from the grave 3 days later, defeating the power of sin and death. And because he has paid the price of our sin, we can have our sin forgiven, we can have the brokenness between us and God restored, and we can be made right with God, reconciled once again. And we can live in a peace relationship with God both now and to eternity. And so peace with God is possible when we find it in salvation. And it's found in Jesus Christ. Look what the scriptures say to us about peace with God and salvation. Paul writes in Romans 5, verse 1 and 2, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, meaning this, therefore we've been made right. To be justified means to be made right. Because of our sin, we've been separated from God. The penalty of that is that we are separated. There's a lack of peace with God. But we've been justified by Christ. And through faith in Jesus, we've been made right once again. And so we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the glory, in the hope of the glory of God. Paul says, we want to find peace with God. We find it by being made right through Jesus. We find it through salvation, by putting our faith and our trust in him. That's how we find it. Paul goes on to write in a different letter, Colossians 1, 21 through 23, he says, and you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. So that you've been reconciled, you've been made right, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel you've heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So listen, we were once hostile with God. We were once lacking peace with God. But through salvation, we have been reconciled. We've been made right. The relationship that God had and created us for can now be the relationship that we find today. And that faith, that justification, that reconciliation gives us peace with God. See, the reality is, I believe this, is that some of you will feel good with God today because you came to church. That you'll leave today because, hey, you know what? I woke up this morning. I went to church. I gave some money in the offering, right? I stayed awake for most of the sermon, okay, right? I didn't flip off people in the parking lot, even though they cut my, took my parking space. Like, okay, I've done pretty good. And so you'll feel at peace with God because you're good with how you acted today. But then next Sunday, you'll stay up too late and you won't come, or you'll come, but you won't give the money. You won't pay attention in the sermon, right? Or maybe you'll get mad at somebody and you're mad at your kids for being late, and you'll walk away not feeling at peace with God because you don't feel like you did a very good job today. It's because your works can't create peace with God. It's only what Jesus can do. And the reason why your faith is like this, up and down in terms of how you feel with God, is because honestly, you're trusting in your own works to be at peace with God. And the only way to be at peace with God is what Jesus has done. It's only through salvation we can have peace with God, not through our works, no matter how good we might think they are. So here's the question. Have you found peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ? If you're trying to find peace with God in any other way, you will never find lasting, satisfying, true peace with God. So God wants to give us peace through salvation. He also wants to bring peace in our life with others through peacemaking. Through peacemaking. as God brings a level of peace to our life with himself, he then calls us to be people pursuing peace in relationships with other people, right? Look at Matthew 5:9 on the screen. It says this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Who are blessed in the kingdom of God? Peacemakers. See, it'd be great if as soon as we put our faith and trust in Jesus, God would make all of the tense relationships in our life just go away. But what happens is he says, listen, I'm creating peace with me. Now I want you to go, and through my power in you, I want you to pursue peace with other people. Because I want you to be a peacemaker. So if I'm honest with you, I don't like that very much sometimes. Because I would rather the other person be the peacemaker. Because I don't feel like I did anything wrong. Right? Why should I go and apologize? They were wrong. Why should I try to make things right? They were the one that didn't return the phone call. Why should I make things right? They were the one that misunderstood my anger. Right? You know, like, well, whatever it is. Like, I would rather the other person do that. But God says, listen, no, no, no. Because you've been at peace with me now, I'm calling you to be a peacemaker. Well, what is a peacemaker? What do they do? Well, think about it this way. A peacemaker is one who actively works to bring peace and reconciliation where there is hatred, strife, and a lack of peace. So you may be thinking, okay, well, where do I need to bring peace in relationships? Well, what relationships are filled with hatred, strife, and a lack of peace? That's where you're called to be a peacemaker. Which, like, I would rather be a peacemaker in the relationships where there is already peace. But that's not what we're called to do. If we truly want to experience a deeper level of peace in our relationship with others, we have to take the responsibility to answer the call to be a peacemaker. Look at the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12:14. It says, strive for peace with everyone, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. It said, strive for peace. Other translations say, make every effort. So the question is, am I making every effort I can to be at peace with the people in my life? Am I striving to be at peace with the people in my life? Right? Here's a question. Will you be perfectly at peace? Will perfect peace exist in every relationship in your life here on this earth? It won't. Two reasons. One is because we can only control ourselves. And a relationship requires two people. So we can't force another person to respond in a peaceful way, but we can do all we can to live as a peacemaker. Do you think that if we did all we could, we would find more peace in our relationships? I do. Because I'm not convinced that every broken relationship or tense relationship in my life is because of the other person. Chances are, I probably had a part to play in that. So it says we need to strive for peace. Well, what do we do if we honestly strive for peace and peace doesn't come from the other person? Well, look what Paul writes in Romans 12:17-21. It says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So what should we do? As far as it depends on us, we need to pursue peace. It says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So what do we do if we do all that we can and peace doesn't come? We continue to pursue peace. And once we've done all we can, we have to trust God. Just trust God. But we have to control what we can control. Listen, I don't like not avenging myself and trusting God with that. I would rather control the outcome based upon my sense of fairness. I'm just being honest with you. If my enemy's hungry, my first thought isn't always to give them something to eat. If they're thirsty, my thought isn't always give them something to drink. A lot of times it's, that's your fault. I'm just being honest with you. But that's when I am being overcome by evil. But I'm supposed to overcome evil with good. How do we find more peace in our relationships? We become peacemakers. We learn to love, to show grace, to forgive, to confront tension and conflict, but do so with a desire for reconciliation and restoration. And once we've done all we can, we trust God to do what only He can do. But we never let our heart give up, and we never let our actions change. Now, does that mean we don't have boundaries with some people who have hurt us in big ways? Absolutely, we have boundaries. And maybe the most important thing you can do to bring peace in a very toxic relationship is to begin by praying for the person from afar and trusting God to mend and lead your next step. So, peace with God through salvation, peace with others through peacemaking. God also wants to bring peace within ourselves through restoration. Through restoration. What do we mean by that? Well, God makes us new. He not only gives us salvation, He not only calls us to peace with other people, but He makes us new, and He gives us a new identity, a new sense of who we are. He gives us a new purpose. He gives us a new plan and a path and a power for our life. Look what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So the old us is no longer there. No longer defining us. The thing that used to be in control of us, our sinful desire, no longer has to be in control of us. The insecurities that we had because we compared ourselves to other people don't have to be the most powerful thing in our life because we have been made new. And part of being made new is that God then, through His power in us, begins to birth new things in and through our life. Look at Galatians 5:22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So as we pursue God, we have more power in our life to create a new sense of peace within ourselves. And part of how we find peace is we begin to understand and we begin to believe and hold on to not what other people would say about us, not even what we would say about ourselves. We begin to find our identity ultimately in who Jesus Christ says we are. So I think a lot of times the reason why we suffer from insecurity and a lack of peace within ourselves is because we spend our life comparing ourselves to other people and identifying the ways that we're different and not as good in our minds. Or we allow the words of other people, what they say about us, how they want to identify us, to be what we believe about ourselves. But as followers of Jesus, who you think you are, who your parents thought you were, who your spouse maybe says you are, who your kids say you are, who your coworkers say you are, any of that is secondary to who God says you are. And so often the words of other people are what create this lack of peace inside of us. Sometimes it's our own words. We look at ourselves and find what's wrong with us in our own mind. And we need to believe not what others say. We need to believe what God says. And when we believe what God says about us, it creates in us a deeper sense of peace. Because the reality is this. This is who we are. 1 Thessalonians 1:4. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you. Listen, did you know today that God, the creator of the world, has chosen you? He's chosen you. You may be like, Zach, I chose to be a follower of Christ. You only chose to follow Christ because Christ chose you. The creator of the universe picked you. He picked me. So if you feel rejected by your friends, rejected by your family, rejected by your coworkers, rejected by your spouse, you've been chosen by somebody far more important than them. You've been chosen by God. Your value is found in the one who chose you, not the one who rejected you. And not only did he choose you, here's what he says about you. 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. Not only did he choose you, he made you his child. He didn't choose you and like, okay, Zach, I'm going to choose you, but why don't you kind of stay over there? Like, you're in the room, but just like, you know, over there a little bit, right? So no, you're my son. Everything I have, I'm giving to you. And if we could awaken more and more to our identity in Christ as opposed to our identity from others, I believe God can bring restoration and give us more peace. So whose voice is loudest in your life when it comes to your identity? Yours? That other person? Or God's? Are you finding your identity in him? And last, not least, circumstances. God wants to give us a new and lasting sense of peace through prayer. Through prayer. This is where if you're like me, you're like, hold on, that's very churchy, right? How does God want to give me peace? Pray, right? Kind of like, you know, who's most important? Jesus. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, is that not like the trite answer that I don't want to hear? I'm looking for like the practical, like help answer. Like, how am I really going to have peace because I just found out that I have cancer? How am I really going to find peace because my husband just came and said, I'm not sure I'm going to be married to you anymore? How am I truly going to find peace because I just found out that my job's going to end December 31? Like, how do I truly find, I need the real answer, not the church answer. Well, here's the thing. They're both the same. The church answer is the real and the only answer of how we find peace in our circumstances, because circumstances do not define our peace, but God promises peace in spite of our circumstances. Quickly, let's look at this. John 16:33, Jesus said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. He said, everything I've told you so you can have peace. Because in this world, you're gonna have tribulation. But take heart, I've overcome the world. So listen, your peace is not dependent upon circumstances because I've overcome the circumstances. So what do we do when the circumstances are what we want? They create that lack of peace, that create that lack of that anxiety in our life. Here's what we can do. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. We're gonna end with this. Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Paul says, do not be anxious, do not lack peace about anything. Here's what that means. Anything can cause a lack of peace in our life, big and little. But he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, no matter how big, no matter how small, in everything, pray. It says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, meaning asking, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. What do we do when that news and the circumstances overwhelm us? We pray. We tell God what's going on. We let him know what we're needing. And here's the promise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here's what the promise is not. The promise is not that you will understand why it's happening. If you need understanding to be at peace, you're always going to lack peace. The second thing is this, is peace is not God changing the circumstance. Because sometimes the circumstance doesn't change. But what God promises is this, he will give you peace that is greater than understanding. Peace that is greater than the circumstance. That even though you may not know why after you pray, even though the situation might not change after you pray, God has promised to give you a greater sense of peace in your life. And he'll do it. And he may do it then, and we may need him to do it again in 2 hours. But if we will approach the circumstances in our life and respond in prayer, God promises us that he'll give us peace. So here's a question I have for you as we end today. Are you experiencing peace today? Are you experiencing peace? Do you have peace with God? Because you have faith in Jesus Christ. Do you have peace with others in your life right now? Do you have peace within yourself? Do you have peace with your circumstances? If not, then maybe if you need peace with God, you need to pray and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ this morning, because that's the only answer. If you're lacking peace with others, pray and ask God, how do I need to be a peacemaker today? And once I've done all I can, God, I've got to trust you with the rest. Maybe you're struggling with peace internally today. That the words and the things people have said to you, man, they're rocking your world. You need to come back and allow God to speak truth into who you really are. Or maybe you found out some news or the circumstances of your life are difficult and they're awful right now. Let's pray about it. Okay, let's pray together. Father, we come today thanking you that you're a God who not only makes us promises, but God, you keep your promises. God, every promise that we find in your word either has been fulfilled, will be fulfilled, or is consistently being fulfilled, because it's one that we can claim time and time again. And so God, today, as we enter into this time of response, I thank you that we can find you faithful. And God, if we need to find peace with you, we can find that through salvation. And if we put our faith and trust in Jesus, but we've gone back to trusting in our own works, God, would you reaffirm to us that it's only through Jesus that we can be at peace? God, if we need peace in relationships, would you give us the power and the strength to be a peacemaker today? To maybe think about new ways that we can, God, serve and love and forgive. And perhaps today we just need to be praying for that person. We're struggling with internal peace, God, would you allow us to have a new sense and a deeper sense of who we are in you? And God, if we need, God, peace in our circumstances, God, we want to pray about that, believing you'll give us that sense of peace. God, we give this time to you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.